Let's head stateside now for our regular monthly catch-up with Chris Danielson. He is the PR director for the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. And Chris, we are heading towards the festive season now. And I suppose like RNIB in the UK, you guys turn some focus to Santa's letters in accessible formats.
Good to be here. Always a pleasure to be with you, Alan. And yes, we have dedicated elves at the National Federation of the Blind, and our job is to make sure that blind children can get a Braille letter from Santa Claus. The way that it works is that a parent can request a letter for their child as long as the child is 10 years of age or under. And they can do that via a form on our website, which is nfb.org. And then the child will get a letter. And for those who don't celebrate Christmas as such, we actually have a choice that can be made so that you get an activity pack that is winter themed and kind of festive, but not specifically related to Santa Claus or to Christmas. So we do that, and we do this, of course, so that the children will have a Christmas activity or a winter activity in an accessible format, and because we are big promoters of Braille in the National Federation of the Blind. We really believe in Braille. 2024, of course, is the 200th anniversary of the creation of Braille, so it's a special time to do that. And we have actually a bunch of initiatives, including our Braille Readers, our Leaders contest that will start up in December as well. And we're always looking for new ways to promote Braille. So our efforts are primarily focused in the United States, but at the same time, we are big supporters of Braille. And so we like for people around the world to know all of the great things that we're doing to promote Braille and Braille literacy.
The letters, as you say, Chris, for children under the age of 10. People, I suppose, learn Braille at any age when they lose their sight. But I suppose if we're thinking about younger people, Braille opens up literacy and numeracy skills, reading and writing. It really, for very young children, can be a bedrock for learning and beyond.
Absolutely. And the important thing, especially for very young readers, is to normalize Braille and make it feel like that's reading and it's not something different from what their sighted maybe siblings or friends or peers are experiencing. So one of the reasons we want to do Braille letters from Santa or winter letters is so that they get their own letter from Santa, just like their siblings can get, for example, and they can enjoy it and it's personal to them. And it just makes them feel like Braille is a real reading medium that is as important as print. And we do include a print copy as well so that the whole family can share. And so the blind child is participating. There's activities in the package so the siblings and the whole family can participate. And so it's just a way to really make Braille just a part of the daily life and a part of the holiday experience in this case for blind children.
I like the word normalize there, Chris. Does modern technology help normalize Braille? I'm thinking especially for children and young people as well. You know, their peers probably have gadgets and so on and smart devices, but Braille in the 21st century can be incorporated equally into many smart devices as well. So does that help almost make that, well, just the norm for kids?
I think it does. You know, there are so many opportunities that kids have to use Braille that, for example, I didn't have, because you can get an ordinary tablet like your iPad, or you can get your laptop and you can connect a Braille display to it and you're using it just like all your friends are. You know, and if you're old enough to have a phone, you can connect it to that as well. So those are opportunities to use Braille. There's so many ways to get books now in Braille onto a device like that. So you can be reading Braille all the time. You don't have to wait for the hard copy books to come in the Braille. We still believe in hard copy, and we work with an organization called the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults to actually send blind children free Braille books that they can keep so that they have their own books to read to put on their bookshelf in their room or whatever. But at the same time, there's so many more opportunities to read Braille and integrate it with technology. It's actually the opposite of the canard that's out there. People have said that technology can replace Braille, and we don't believe that. We believe that technology enhances Braille, makes it more available, and makes it more useful to blind people, especially blind young people in this case.
In the digital age as well, Chris, I was talking with someone recently who is blind and they're studying to become a lawyer. And the great thing for them with things like EPUB is the fact that they can download loads and loads of books. And I suppose when you're studying law, there are probably shelf loads and shelf loads of them. And, you know, if you make that hard copy of Braille, it's even more. But they can walk around with the library almost in their pocket. And that's a huge advantage for study.
Absolutely. You know, and it gives them an advantage over, or at least parity with, other students. Because let me tell you, I went to law school, and law books, just print law books, are pretty thick. They're hard to carry around. So now that we have access to whole books online, to really to whole law libraries online, because there's a lot of law out there, because there's not only the law dictionaries and the law textbooks and so forth, but there's, of course, all the case law that used to be published and probably still is published in these big volumes that you have to go to the law library for. But now you can access a lot of it online. And that's really handy because there's a lot of unusual wording in law. There's a lot of citations that you have to deal with and that you have to know how to cite properly. So having access to that information in Braille is really helpful. And the same is true of math and science content. And of course, we've increasingly got access to tactile graphics, the devices like the Monarch that we worked on with HumanWare and APH here in the United States that can display tactile graphics as well, that we're working really hard to make available to schools. It's just really important that blind young people and really people who are studying at all levels have access to Braille.
Well, there you go, Chris. We've managed to talk Braille from letters to Santa to studying law. I think we crammed in quite a bit there, showing
absolutely.
The flexibility of Braille there as well. And we're almost out of time, Chris, but if people would like to find out more about the NFB, what's the best way to do that?
On social media, we're on a Mastodon. We're at Nations Blind. nfb.social. We're still on X at nfb_voice. We have our website, nfb.org. We're on Facebook. Just search for National Federation of the Blind. We have our Nations Blind YouTube channel with several different podcasts that we put out that you can find just in your podcast client. And if, of course, you can always email us with questions, nfb@nfb.org.
Chris, great to chat with you as always. We'll catch up again next month, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks again for having us, and happy holidays to everyone.